This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. I had a conversation the other day with Om Malik, as in Giga Om, if you remember that, about how Silicon Valley has been displaying a distinct lack of empathy for the effects of its technology on the lives and personal economies of the people who use that technology. Today, then, a story about some tech entrepreneurs who believe they have got a solution for the economic anxiety they've helped create. Not better or more secure jobs. They propose free money, for lack of a better phrase. That's the idea behind something called universal basic income, where the government gives everybody a monthly check, no strings attached, to meet basic needs. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports now from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Just south of San Francisco, Uber drivers congregate outside the company's driver support center in Daly City. 47-year-old Fitzroy Williams has been driving Uber for 2 years.
And I don't see myself doing anything else for now.
7 years ago, the job of Uber driver didn't even exist. Now, the company's talking about replacing its 1.5 million drivers with self-driving cars. Not tomorrow, but certainly before Williams retires.
We are the ones who really made Uber who they are right now. So going over to automated cars then, where does that put us?
It's the kind of futuristic predicament tech entrepreneur Sam Altman says he's been thinking about since he was a kid, obsessed with computers and science fiction. It's why he and other Silicon Valley investors are putting up $1.5 million to test the idea of a basic income, where everybody gets a guaranteed monthly subsidy from the government, no strings attached. The pilot's just getting started in Oakland. Altman says we need to prepare for a robot revolution.
I think this is on the order of the Industrial Revolution and the Agricultural Revolution. We have a new technology. In this case, it'll be automation, software automation, that will replace a giant percentage of current jobs.
Altman states this as fact. At 31, Altman is Silicon Valley. He's president of Y Combinator, the pilot sponsor and the incubator behind startups like Airbnb and Dropbox. He dropped out of Stanford after co-founding a mobile app company that later sold for over $43 million. When I interview him at his home in San Francisco's Mission District, he's barefoot, wearing shorts and a T-shirt, and envisioning a sci-fi future that makes driverless cars sound like kid stuff.
I think we are going to see a new breed of intelligent life that looks not that much like the humans of 2016. That may be AI, that may be cybernetically enhanced humans.
Just Google it later. Humans, the point is, in a world where machines do much of the work, how will people support their families? And what happens to the connection between work and dignity? A connection Altman says his 89-year-old grandmother always emphasized.
This is a deeply American ideal where laziness is a vice and work, no matter what it is a virtue. My view of this is that creating value is the thing we should value.
What shouldn't be valued? What should be automated? What Altman calls busy work and unpleasant work. As for those willing to do unpleasant work, as long as it supports a middle-class life, well, for those people, technology hubs like Silicon Valley are increasingly off-limits. Here in Palo Alto, home to tech billionaires like Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, Teslas and BMWs cruise by modest homes that sell for $3 million. The technorati line up for handcrafted coffee made by workers who can't afford $2,700 a month for an apartment, the average for a one-bedroom. Stanford labor economist Paul Oyer says growing inequality is fueling talk of a basic income among academics and tech elites. It's not a new idea. Over the decades, conservatives have seen it as a substitute for a bloated welfare bureaucracy. Liberals, as more of a supplement to help fight poverty.
There's just a very strong trade-off. On the one hand, you want to protect people from things they have no control over.
Like jobs and income.
And on the other hand, we worry very much that universal basic income is going to lower people's incentives to work and earn a living.
At the moment, Y Combinator plans to hand out $1,500 a month to just 100 people over a year. They're keeping mum on the details for now, but the result from this small pilot will inform a bigger, longer-term experiment afterward. Stanford sociologist David Grusky says he will be curious to find out, will free money enable people to do something creative or entrepreneurial they might not otherwise do, or to simply put up their feet and watch Netflix? Grusky is most worried about the decline in prime age employment, especially among men.
One possibility is that we should have a producer class that's raking in extraordinary amounts of money, and then perhaps a consumer class that's subsisting to some extent on basic income.
The other possibility, Grusky says, is public jobs.
We can deliver jobs just as much as delivering money. And one might say that delivering jobs kills two birds with one stone. It solves the prime age employment problem. And at the same time, we could use those jobs to build a better public infrastructure.
Critics have cast the basic income scheme as a way for Silicon Valley elites to appease the workers their technology is leaving behind. I asked Sam Altman about that.
If I were on the other side, I might feel that myself. That is genuinely not my intent. I also think we cannot stop technological progress, and we should just figure out the way to include everybody in the benefits of it.
Y Combinator will have plenty of company on that score. Finland, the Netherlands, and Ontario will all launch basic income experiments in the new year. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.